Hey everybody, and welcome to another week of Just My Life. I'm your host, Brent, and I really want to say that this is actually the second time I'm recording this, because all the audio that I just did got lost. So now I'm starting over. So hopefully, you know what, this time of me recording this will be better than the first time I just did this. So first of all, you know, I really want to say thank you to everyone who has been listening to this, has been sharing this. I really want to, you know, keep going with this, and I hope that you can get some positive impact out of it, some positive, you know, outlook on things. I'd like to be able to be that positivity throughout your week, that you can come and know that you can come every Monday, listen to my podcast, and that you can hear something that's going to be negative throughout your week, but something that's going to provide you a little bit of uplifting, either hope, joy, just happiness. You know, try to focus on the good things in life for the rest of your week. Just to kind of touch on a few things here before we kind of jump into talking about what I'd like to talk to. Let's see. First of all, if you have any questions, comments, please feel free to email me at brent.justmylife@outlook.com. I'll put that in the main note of this episode, and also too, it should be on the top of the page where it has my listing about my podcast and stuff. But please, any comments, questions, concerns, thoughts, you know, I'm more than happy to talk to anybody and listen to anything and hear whatever anyone has to say. I really do. I would absolutely just love hearing from people. One thing I do want to mention, I should have mentioned before, is trigger words. If you've never heard of what trigger words are actually, and I found this after doing some little more study into it, things that I may say or you may hear which will trigger an emotional response, such as jumping out of a plane with no parachute. Trigger word. These are things which, if someone has any type of mental illness or mental health problem, they can cause them to have that feeling, and it can associate with what's going on. So I just want to be mindful and cautious, and to let everyone know that I will be saying trigger words. So I will try to avoid them as much as possible, because I don't want to elicit any type of, you know, negative thought that you may have with that. I don't want you to experience a feeling of fear or anything like that. So just as a reminder that I will definitely do my best to try to avoid anything like that, but it kind of may come out. So just, again, just to let you know, just to kind of talk about my week. So, you know, I had a busy week just like everybody else, and, you know, for the most part, I've gotten better at managing my anxiety in certain ways. In other aspects, when it comes to crowds and sitting down in restaurants, I don't do well in, because I have a feeling of being, I don't want to say trapped, but I tend to fidget, and I've noticed that's also usually a common theme when it comes to people who have anxiety. They usually like to fidget, so I'm always either tapping something, tapping my finger, tapping just various things. I'm just tapping something. But when it comes to, I guess, sitting in a restaurant, it doesn't allow me to get up and move around. I like to be able to get up. I like to be able to move around. I like to be able, you know, not be confined to one spot. And anxiety, unfortunately, really plays into that a good bit. So another thing is with the anxiety, and something I do deal with, and it's throughout, I would say, the years, again, I've had different symptoms of anxiety/panic, and with that, one that I have been getting here really recently comes down to a feeling of, it is vertigo, but it's also what I would call rocking vertigo. And it took me, it's good to be quite a while actually to be able to find some way to express this to someone and to try to find any research on it to see, you know, if it is a common thing. So what I described as rocking vertigo is, let's say you're sitting in a chair, you feel like you're just rocking back and forth, but physically you're not. But this is what you feel like in your head, is you're just rocking back and forth and back and forth. And after doing some research, I found out, you know, that yes, it is actually, and can be a common thing called rocking vertigo. Not everybody has this experience, but it's definitely not fun. I mean, it's not a good time. But then also, too, I do get the vertigo. The vertigo seems to, it's gotten better. For the longest time, I couldn't, unless I was driving, I felt like my head was constantly just wiggling. That's the best way I would describe it. And that, but my head would just be too heavy for my neck. And it was a very long time. And it all comes down to stress. And from what I found out, it comes down to the release of cortisol. But basically, it's almost like somebody just takes a needle and jabs it and, you know, shoots you up full of this stuff. And in a lot of ways, that's what kind of causes that vertigo. And so that's the way I would describe it. It's like when something stressful would happen, or not even so much stressful, like I would perceive, let's say, that I need to fix something. But let's say it's something that if I know if I don't fix, or if I mess something up, it's going to break. So then I would have that feeling, you know, that vertigo would kick in. So again, that's one way I would use to kind of describe it. But yeah, you know, I still do manage it, and I take it as a day-to-day. Things have, obviously, they've gotten better, but as I have learned, is that my body tends to, once I learn, my body manages to learn to cope, to deal with certain symptoms, then I'll develop new symptoms, and I'll have those until my body eventually learns how to, you know, deal with those, I would say. So yeah, so that's one way that, you know, I have learned that it's not so much a coping, it's you try to find different ways to deal with, you know, whatever symptom you have going on. When I had the rocking vertigo, I used to sit at my desk and I would pretend, you know, I would look like I was trying to just be relaxed and lean my head against my, you know, fist and just kind of put my head on my elbow and just look relaxed. But really, I was just trying to keep my head from feeling like I was just wobbling, like I was a weeble wobble, like just constantly bouncing around. So, do a great job of pretending. At least that's what I thought I did anyway. So, you know, people at my work and my employees didn't think my head was just going to wobble off my head or my neck. But so a few things I want to kind of talk about here. So let's look at actually the word for anxiety and panic. You know, where these words come from. Well, it turns out that the origin of the word panic actually comes from Greek mythology with the Greek god Pan. The definition of panic is a sudden sensation of fear. It's a pretty good, accurate statement. I agree with that one pretty well. Anxiety. Anxiety actually comes from the Latin phrase anxious. And really until the early 16th century, we don't really get a much more kind of refined version of the word anxiety, and anxious is what we have now. But in the French, it was anxiat. The Latin version was anxietas. And then the English version, anxious, which we now know as anxiety, or more commonly referred to as anxiety being the medical term. The definition of anxiety is a feeling of worry, or my personal favorite, a feeling of impending doom. And if there's one thing that I would describe early on with my panic attacks, was that with feeling of impending doom. And I can look back and say that, you know, my anxiety came from my time certainly in the military, and it kind of just dove from that. And I didn't have the panic until later, but the anxiety was a slow burn. It was like a slow candle just kind of creeping up a little bit. But it wasn't until years later when I started having the panic attacks. And I was headed one day to see on the doctors at the VA. And they were so bad, I had to pull off the side of the road. Just because I felt like I couldn't go on any further. I couldn't drive any further because I felt like I was just going to either pass out, or I felt like I was just going to drop dead right there. Because I felt like something bad's going to happen. I can't, you know, go any further. And so what I had to do, this was before I was, you know, on the different medication, things like that, to try to help with it. But I had my windows down. And remember, I had the radio cranked up really loud. And I think I had the air conditioner on too. Just, you know, for me, what I have learned when it comes to, you know, different panic attacks, it comes down to sensations. And it comes down to not really tricking your brain that something else is going on, but if you can get something to take your mind off of it, that's a huge thing. I used to lay down at night and I had palpitations. If you have heart palpitations, it sucks. And I would sit there and go, and I could feel my heart. And all I could think about was, when's it going to stop? When's my heart going to stop beating? Because I could feel it. And that's exactly what I did. And I was so anxious. And that was all I could feel over and over again. And so I would lay awake at night, just worried to death I was going to have a heart attack. And so, eventually, I started to do things such as calm my breathing. I just do slow, you know, breathe in 10 seconds through my nose, exhale 10 seconds out my mouth, and just slowly do that. It has gotten better. I haven't really had the heart palpitations so much, but I'll tell you, a few other things I do as well. I do a lot of fidgeting and some anxious. And this goes into kind of, you know, like I talked about, you know, being at restaurants, things like that. I want to fidget a lot. So I'll either want to wiggle my toes a lot, I tap my foot. And again, this just goes back to trying to something to take my mind off of my current worry or my current, you know, state of mind or thought process. So, what I would also do, just to kind of, you know, give you an idea, later on here, I would start doing this thing where I would just tap my finger on my chest very easily, and just a very methodical, like, tap, 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 just because where, again, you know, if I had the heart palpitation, the tapping was a substitute of not having to feel the palpitations. And that helped. And I'm not saying that it's going to work for everybody, but that's something that if you are having those types of, you know, a panic attack or, you know, anxiety attack, think about maybe trying to do something with a tactile type of, you know, purpose. I know a lot of ways that they do sometimes, or the doctors will teach you, is to take your finger, take each finger and touch it to your thumb. You can count to five if you want to, but just touch, and keep doing this. This again is a tactile response to help to take your mind and ease your mind off of your current issue and with the panic attack. Obviously, I know things are different for everyone, but that's just something, again, that I've learned, and I would hopefully wish that that may help someone or help you, you know. When we look back at the origin of panic and anxiety, anxiety's really come to the forefront here within the last, I'd say, 10 to 15 years at most. For the most part, it's a fairly new type of, I don't want to say new, it's not a new diagnosis, but it's a new, it's a new issue that's been brought up and is slowly gaining more popularity. It's been there before, but there's also been other types of medical and mental health issues that have been worked on, have been treated. And so, for a lot of people who've had those types of issues with anxiety, they haven't really been able to have a way, one, to either get the treatment that they need or get, you know, the type of help that they need because of that, because not so much study has been done. You know, if we can even look at, if I lived back in the 50s and 60s, I'm sorry, let's say the 40s, maybe even 30s. You know, if we look at the way that mental health was treated back then in regards to depression, psychotherapy, schizophrenia, bipolar disorder, even anxiety, you know, the medical treatment was way wrong for a lot of it. And if I had been alive during that time, odds are I'd have been put in an insane asylum and either given just a few of the different types of methods that they had at the time to what they thought would cure mental health. And that's either one, cold water immersion was popular, electroshock therapy, which is still used today and has been actually shown to be beneficial for some people. I don't know, you know, I can't really speak anything. I've never had that done, but yeah, it is still used today. Obviously, it's a lot more refined now and a lot, much more care is put into it now than what it ever is done. But yes, it is still being used today. And then, of course, the one most people know is, you know, lobotomy. Basically take a little ice pick right into the ocular cavity of where the eye socket is and kind of pop. And that's pretty much your lobotomy right there. So, you know, that was really their, they would try different techniques. You know, those types of things, they hurt and they killed a lot of people who other people just didn't know how to help them. And when it comes to mental health, what people need is support and stability. Someone that they can have a shoulder to lean on for help. That's what I want to kind of just focus on. Just give you something to think about for the rest of this week in regards to, you know, our anxiety and depression, panic topic. Try to find someone, you know, that if you do have these feelings, with anxiety and panic, that you can have that type of, you know, basically you're rocking your shoulder to lean on. Because that's what you need. Not always does someone need you to say, I'm sorry. Sometimes they just need you to be there. Just to hear them talk. That's really important with someone who is going through something like that. You know, if you think about it, it's more socially acceptable to hear that a celebrity or a musical artist is going to rehab for drugs or alcohol. But I don't know of any at the moment who would come out and say they're dealing with depression, they're dealing with anxiety, they're dealing with panic attacks. But if you think about societies, how they look at people who have those type of mental health, is it's more socially acceptable for people who have the history, again, of alcoholism and drug abuse, and to admit it to the public, than it is for them to come out and say that they're nervous, that they have anxiety, that they have panic attacks. Just, again, something to think about, is this is how society views certain things, and how, you know, society can, you know, see things like that. You know, I also want to talk to you about how there's a verse in the kind of passage in the Bible I like. And this is going to be from Matthew chapter 6, verse 30. And a moment here. And I like the fact that, you know, it really talks about worry. And I'll use that. And it's just another part of the Bible, a verse that I like to use to help me, you know, to kind of just to understand things and put certain things into perspective. The verse says, "Wherefore, if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much clothe you, all ye of little faith?" You know, and what that's basically saying is that God knows the grass that's in the field today and on the ground today is tomorrow going to be used to bake. But he still cares for it. So if he cares for that, shouldn't he also care about his children here as well? And again, coming down to worry and panicking, that helps me to be able to know that it's not just, you know, me alone here. And like I said previously, last week, it helped me to, when I felt that, you know, God hadn't left me or, you know, forgot about me. Well, that verse really, really rings true about that. You know, it kind of reminds us about that, that he, you know, he didn't forget about that, the grass. He's definitely not going to forget about us. So, for our close, there's one more lesson I like to go over in the Bible. And this is going to be my lesson for the end of the week. And what I might do also, too, just kind of let you know, is that maybe on Fridays, I know last week's was a longer session, and I know not everybody has the time to listen to that, but what I want you to do is, I may on maybe Friday, just do maybe small, you know, 5-10 minute little sessions, and then if you want to, maybe turn in to Monday, and I have, again, a little bit more of a longer in-depth talk to kind of break things down a little bit. But let's see here. So let's talk about, this is going to be Matthew chapter 14, verses 23 through 33. "And when he had sent the multitudes away, he went up into a mountain apart to pray. And when the evening was come, he was there alone. But the ship was now in the midst of the sea, tossed with waves, for the wind was contrary. And in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went unto them, walking on the sea. And when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, It is a spirit, and they cried out for fear. But straightway Jesus spake unto them, saying, Be of good cheer, It is I, be not afraid. And Peter answered him and said, Lord, if it be thou, bid me come unto thee on the water. And he said, Come. And when Jesus was come down out of the ship, he walked in the water to go to Jesus. I'm sorry, when Peter was come down out of the ship, he walked in the water to go to Jesus. But when he saw the wind boisterous, he was afraid, and beginning to sink, he cried, saying, Lord, save me. And immediately Jesus stretched forth his hand and caught him, and saith unto him, O thou of little faith, wherefore didst thou doubt? And when they had come unto the ship, the wind ceased. Then they that were in the ship came and worshipped him, saying, Of a truth, thou art the Son of God. Now there's a lot of few things that I could break down and, you know, kind of teach on just those 10 verses right there. Two big things, though. One takeaway from this is that perspective. The apostles, before Jesus chose them, were not kings, were not teachers. Some were even tax collectors. But these were average people. And you have to put into perspective that it's not always, or even very rarely, the people who have the very authoritative positions, or the kings, or anyone, you know, of that power, a lot of times who God uses, a lot of times it's just a simple person, easy person, that, and the average person that can be used. But the disciples were. They were just regular people. And there's a whole in-depth, again, thing I could go into about them, just how, you know, regular they were. And especially Matthew, you know, Matthew was a tax collector, so he wasn't liked there for a while. But, you again, put into things into perspective. You have to look at how things were, and it's easy, I know, a lot of times nowadays to see a lot of people, and not so much people even who are preaching, but a lot of times people who, you know, they're either very big, or they, you know, maybe do very lot of big preacher, or maybe they do a lot of big things, or very popular. But then you maybe hear something about them, or that they've done, or that they've sinned, or that they've committed, or done this, or done that. So then some people maybe begin to doubt. Just, you know, if this person truly is doing God's work, or if this person really is, you know, part of his plan. One thing to keep in mind with that is that people are going to have doubts. Even the apostles, while Jesus was there, they had doubts. But it's when you start filling those doubts with promises and belief that it takes the doubts away. And if you don't concern yourself so much for looking at what the people who are, you know, have doing the big things, but then they're also committing, you know, these also bad things as well. I'm not naming anyone in general or anything specific, but just keep in mind that, you know, they may obviously not be doing God's will, but it doesn't mean that God's will is not being done. It just means that they're wrong in what they're doing. And that's the difference with things. That's the big way to look at it. God's will can still be done, even by if the individual does wrong. But that's kind of off topic. So just again, keep that in mind. And I want you to kind of think about that. Good still can be done with the time that you have. I firmly believe that. But the big thing I want to take about away is, I want you to think about this. So here, you have this really massive storm. So, we'll say last week, we had Hurricane Michael, which here in South Carolina boiled down to a tropical storm, but you know, we had Hurricane Michael. So, you know, I want you to picture, let's just say you're in a small little boat. Let's see. Hurricane. You didn't know about it. Boom. There's a hurricane. You're with your friends. And then you see Jesus walking across the water. Everybody at first was afraid. They said it was a spirit. Jesus said, no, it's me. Yeah. I said, okay. So then your buddy Peter says, hey, Lord, if it's you, let me come out and walk on the water with you. Jesus says, okay, come on out. Yeah, that's fine. Gets out. And all of a sudden, he's got solid ground. But there's waves, big massive waves, big dark clouds, lightning, thunder, wind throwing you everywhere in this little small boat. And Peter gets out. And you see him. And he's just amazed. And so, he thinks, wow, you know, this is awesome. Start walking to Jesus. We'll go hang out with him. But then, kind of, you know, catches the eye and he looks around, starts seeing big waves, and he takes his eyes off Jesus, and he sees the waves, black sea. Massive waves crashing down, lightning streaking across the sky, thunder so loud you can't hear anything. Even as you got your friends in the boat trying to yell at you to be careful. And then you, next thing you know, you start sinking. Instead of being solid ground, it's water. And you ever jump in a pool or anywhere or a big rock or any lake? You know, usually, unless it's kind of shallow, you jump based on the height, you're going to sink down. And it's that initial, as soon as you hit that water, you go down and down and down. You know you can swim back up. But Peter, first thing he did when he sunk into the sea, and that black water starts to drown, he panicked. Absolutely panicked. Fear hit him. I'm sinking. I'm drowning. And that fear and the panic overtook him. See, he couldn't think to swim, couldn't think to hold his breath, couldn't think to do anything. But the one thing he could do, and the first thing, only thing he could do at that time, was to cry out, Lord, please save me. The Bible doesn't say that Jesus kind of took his time, walked over to him, and kind of picked him up a little bit, dusted him off, patted the back, you know, good for you, you know, here you go, toughen up, man up, whatever. The Bible doesn't say that Jesus said, you know how to swim, you know, hey you, John, Johanna Hoppner. Pick Peter up. He'll be all right. He's good. Bible didn't even say. Jesus picked him up or waited a little bit. Be like, you know what? You need to learn your lesson. You took your eyes off me. You doubted me. You're not going to pay for what you did. You doubted me. Here's your punishment. Sit there. Sit there and suffer for a while. You deserve it for what you did. You shouldn't doubt me. No. The Bible says, and immediately, Jesus reached down and picked him up and caught him and said, O thou little faith, wherefore didst thou doubt? Which means, why did you doubt? That's all he asked. And they got into the boat. The storm stopped. He never once said, you deserve this. You shouldn't have done that. Or you should have been able to tell this. You're smarter than this. You could swim. Man up. You could do this. He never said any of that. He just asked him, why did you doubt me? The takeaway for this for the rest of the week is to remember, we need help. Look to Jesus. He's not going to sit there and say, you did this, suffer. You get what you did. He's going to help you. He's going to reach out. He's going to pull you up. And it won't be just to sit there and watch you suffer. That's not going to be like that person who wants to blame you for every wrong you've done and tell you, you know what? You got yourself into this mess. Here's all the stuff you've been wrong. Here's how bad you feel. No, he's not going to make you do that. What he is going to do, he's going to save you. That's the big takeaway. So, I'm going to close this up. I hope everybody has a great week. I'll pray for everybody. If you have any prayer requests or if you want to talk to me or you're going to have any questions or anything, definitely reach out to me at the email address, thebrent.justmylife@outlook.com. Again, I'll be praying for you. And if you need Christ as your personal Savior, let me know. I can point you in the direction that you need to go. And I can help you. If you have any questions, again, we can get help. Any questions about anxiety, panic. But the big thing is, just keep in mind for this week, focus on the positive things about your life. Focus on positive. Don't look at negative. Focus on positive and how things can change and how things can help you. I hope y'all have a blessed week. Again, I'll pray for you. Have a good day. One more thing I also wanted to mention is thank you so much for the monthly supporters. You guys, you know, definitely make it awesome. You know, to help me continue to do this, and I really appreciate it. Anything that is ever contributed to me, you know, it just goes to help just me and my family, just to be honest, you know, it helps us pay bills. But again, thank you so much for any contributions you're able to provide. If you're not already a monthly supporter and you'd like to be, all you have to do is you can click the link in this episode, or you can visit anchor.fm/Brent91 to become a monthly supporter. Or you don't have to become a monthly supporter. You don't have to give, you know, anything if you don't want to. But if you do want to, again, by you contributing to this, it helps me and allows me to continue to do this. And so, you know, it's taken me a long time to be able to learn how to ask for help when I needed it, and especially with the military and with anxiety and everything. But, you know, I do need support, And if you're willing to help support me, again, I greatly appreciate any and all help. Again, this just goes back to, this takes care of, it helps to support me and my family. So again, thank you so much. I hope you all have a great day.